In these parts, everybody is Irish, at least for the weekend. So it's tempting to reduce St. Patrick to merely the patron saint of a parade or a man who had a lot of friendly sons. But he's so much more than that. In fact, there are a lot of good stories about him, and some of them are true. Some are Irish blarney. For instance, a lot of people say that Patrick chased all the snakes off of Ireland. You ever hear that one? About 150 years before Patrick's birth, a Roman historian stated that he couldn't find any snakes on Ireland, which means it was quite a miracle that Patrick accomplished even before he was born. Others will say Patrick took the Christian faith to Ireland. But it's far more complicated than that. There were Christians in Ireland before he got there, and the faith does spread like dandelion seeds in the wind. He was influential in spreading the gospel. We'll hear a little bit about that, but it probably did not originate with him. Or this one, that Patrick held up a shamrock to teach about the Trinity. Ever hear that one? Sunday school teachers, others? I considered making a shamrock out of green construction paper to show the children, but there was a nagging memory from theology class that I shouldn't do that. One God in three different forms, that's close to a heresy called modalism. Suffice it to say, the Holy Trinity is more complex than a three-leaf clover. So here's what we know. About 400 years after the birth of Jesus, a teenage boy was kidnapped, abducted by pirates. His name was Patricius. He's the son of a tax collector for the Roman Empire, which occupied the western coast of England where he lived. Patricius was baptized as a Christian when he was an infant, but the faith didn't mean much to him as a child. And when he was 16 years old, a band of Irish marauders came across the sea and skin-covered boats and invaded his village. His parents and siblings were able to slip away to a hiding place, but he was removed from his family by pirates who said, "This one will make a great slave," and he was taken to Ireland. It's hard for us to imagine what that must have been like. He was bound and tied, thrown again into a small skin boat, taken across the sea, and his captors took him to the northwest corner of Ireland. There, Patricius was forced to live as a shepherd for 6 years among people who spoke a different language and lived by very brutal customs. In every way, geographically, physically, culturally, Ireland was the end of the world. From the sparse records available to us, we learn of his captivity that it was a test for this young boy's faith, because as I said, he was baptized, but he really hadn't taken the faith as his own. So there he is out in the fields, barely covered, no shoes on his feet, hardly any food, tending sheep among unruly strangers, living simply in a crude hut, isolated and unable to communicate with the people who were there. About all he could do was pray. As he later told the story, I prayed every day, frequently, all the time. And more, the love of God and the fear of God grew in me, and my faith increased, and my spirit was quickened. As most of us know, there's nothing like hardship to sharpen what we believe, which is exactly how today's psalm begins. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, they shall stumble and fall. Psalm 27 is a psalm of protection. It's a prayer to offer when you are far from home and there are adversaries who threaten you, and you're looking for a safe place. One night a miracle happened. Patricius, now 22 years old, heard a voice. "Very soon you will travel to your homeland," it said. It woke him from a sound sleep. He looked around. He didn't see anybody. And then the holy voice would speak again. "Look, your ship is prepared." Well, he looked and didn't see a ship. So he got up, simply walked away from the sheep pen. He kept walking. Patricius walked 200 miles, clear across Ireland, where he found a ship ready to depart to England. He persuaded the captain to take him aboard. It was another 3 days across the sea. When they landed, presumably in Britain, he walked for another 28 days. His family was astonished when one day he simply reappeared at the family door. And then they were even more surprised when he announced that he would give his remaining days to God. So he entered a monastery in France. He spent 12 years studying theology, reading the Bible, worshiping with the community. Although his time as a slave had hampered his education, something he was always self-conscious about, Patricius grew ever more passionate in his love for God. And at the end of his long training, the church ordained him as a priest, and that's when he took the name Patrick. Then, a second time, he had a vision. This time it wasn't a voice, it was an actual vision in a dream. A man he knew from Ireland appeared. The man was holding a stack of handwritten letters and handed one to Patrick. The letter was entitled, "The Voice of the Irish." He read the title and he began to hear voices calling out to him. Holy boy, we beg you to come and walk among us one more time." It startled him and he woke. Patrick tried to shrug off the experience, saying, "It's just a dream." But then he proceeded to keep having the dream over and over again, and he knew what he had to do. Through the scriptures, the Lord taught him, "I shall make you fish for people. Go therefore and teach all the nations. Go into all the world and preach the gospel." And Patrick could not escape what he knew. Those commands came to him as a personal word from Jesus Christ. So he traveled back to Ireland to now live among the people who had once captured him. And to them he preached the love of Jesus. Sometimes we think faith should give us comfort and security, and certainly it can do that. Just as Patrick found comfort as he prayed when he was a captive. Yet as we grow closer to God, it is often the case that faith pushes us and challenges us to grow, to stretch, to move in directions we never thought possible. True faith never moves us to retreat backwards. It compels us forward. "Whom shall I fear?" asks the psalm. "For God will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He shall set me high upon a rock. Now my head is lifted up because of the enemies around me, and I will offer in God's tent sacrifices with shouts of joy." There's one more legend about Patrick that he wrote the hymn, "Be Thou My Vision." That one's not true either. The text wouldn't be composed for another 200 or 400 or 700 years later, and then the author would be named anonymous. But the hymn is rooted in the true story. You see, the melody of that favorite hymn is a tune called Slain, and Slain is a hill in Northern Ireland. It's across the valley from another hill called Tara, which was the political and spiritual center of the Celtic people. On March 26 of the year 433, Patrick had a showdown with the High King of Ireland. That was the king over all the tribes. It happened to be Easter Sunday, which coincided with the day when the High King wanted to light a bonfire, a sacred bonfire, in honor of his Druid religion. The High King decreed, "No other fires shall be built that day." But then imagine his surprise when across the valley, Patrick had started an Easter bonfire, even bigger. He was going to show that the God who raised Jesus from the dead was mightier than any of the Druid spirits. The High King was furious. He ordered Patrick to stop. He refused. The king ordered his priests to pray their spells and put out Patrick's fire. They couldn't do it. So by one account, the king roared up the hill with 22 chariots and two powerful wizards, and Patrick took them on by quoting a psalm. Some take pride in chariots, some in horses, but our pride is in the name of the Lord our God. The legend is that was enough to knock them off their feet. I'm not sure if that's true or if it happened quite like that. But the High King of Terra conceded, while Patrick's Easter fire burned brighter, because he was honoring the God above all others, to whom the rulers of earth must answer. So that's why I had us sing verse 4. High King of heaven, my victory won. May I reach heaven's joys, O bright heaven's sun. Heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all. A verse is rooted in the story, a real-life contest between Patrick the priest, who is now a bishop, and the High King of the Irish tribes. It's a wonderful hymn, and we're not going to sing the rest of it today. No, we're going to sing something that Patrick surely wrote himself. In all of his adventures, there were two spiritual truths that kept recurring again and again. The first is this, that your life and mine, like Patrick's, is a journey. It's a pilgrimage. It's a search. Whether we understand it or not, what we're seeking or moving toward is God. Again, as the psalm declares, one thing I have asked of the Lord that I will seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. There's a word that the Irish use for this journey, peregrinatio. It means to leave your homeland and to wander in search of God. Reminds me of the bumper sticker that quotes Tolkien, "Not all who wander are lost." And it's true, although in Lackawanna County, I wish a few of them would actually use their turn signals. The larger point is the faithful life, the life of faith, is a life that keeps moving for the sake of Christ. As somebody notes, the purpose of this journey is to find the place of our resurrection, the resurrected self, the true self in Christ. And this is the first truth that Patrick came to know in his soul. And the second is this, that as we travel, we have nothing to fear. God protects our travels, especially if our search is an intentional search for what is true, what is beautiful, what is just, and what is holy. So Patrick imagined in his faithful heart that God was in front of him, leading him. That God was behind him, guarding his back. That God was below him, a solid path to tread. That God was above him, higher and holier than he could imagine. In every way, he envisioned that God who comes to us in Jesus Christ can be called upon as a 360 shield. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of what shall I be afraid? This was Patrick's spiritual breastplate, the shield of prayer. We've heard the choir sing some of it. In a minute or so, we're going to sing another part of it in our next hymn, and then we'll recite even more of it as our confession of faith, just so it sinks in. When we need strength, there is no other source but God alone. When we're hungry for hope, our hope comes from God. And this is the witness of St. Patrick. So here it is, he says, in the closing words of his autobiography. I have again and again briefly set before you the words of my declaration. I bear witness in truth and joyfulness of heart before God and his holy angels that the one and only promise I had in going back to the people from whom I had earlier escaped was the gospel and the promises of God. 460 AD, when Patrick took his last breath, most of Ireland had turned from the Druid religion to the God of the gospel. And it happened through the witness of one very ordinary and humble man named Patrick.